Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Everything you remember must mean something. So what does that thought mean?
Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Hello!
Hello.
So how was your birthday in the end last week?
It was ill.
You were sick on your actual birthday.
I was ill for 24 hours, which encompassed my entire birthday and nothing else.
I'm so sorry to hear that, because I was already feeling bad about your birthday, because you were here to record the podcast a couple of days before last week, and I said to you, oh, about your present, I'm having something delivered to your house.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was just lying.
No, I think I said, I'm having it delivered. I haven't bought it yet, but I am having something delivered.
And then after you went, I was like trying to think, what can I even get her that's going to be delivered to her house on time? Yeah. And then I just couldn't think of anything. You know, like sometimes you're full of birthday and Christmas inspiration and then other times you're not. And I'm really in one of those phases at the moment. So I then thought, oh, as I go about my week, I will just look for something very thoughtful to get her. It'll occur to me. And then you know what happened?
What?
Like this morning, it was like, oh God, I haven't bought Annabelle a birthday present.
Was it today?
So I went out and got some stuff all from the same shop this morning.
But it's really nice.
And then I put it somewhere, yeah. So it looked as if it had been there for a few days.
I thought you probably looked. I did, honestly. I'm sure I spoke to you in the week and you went, oh, I'm just looking at presents for you or something.
I was, but I couldn't see anything.
Oh, I thought you bought it. Oh.
No, so I bought it this morning and then for when you arrived.
Fresh out of the shop.
I sort of tucked it behind a cupboard, and when we were having a cup of tea, I was like, oh, your birthday present.
I just remembered you were very like, oh, I completely forgot me.
Yeah. When in actual fact, I was back from the shops 10 minutes before you got here.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, I think I got you some nice things your birthday, but they weren't thoughtful gifts.
Oh, I think they're thoughtful.
Well, they're nice, but they're not thoughtful because you're one of these people who is really good at getting thoughtful gifts.
Sometimes.
You remember things. You're like one of these people who, if maybe 9 years ago I'd said, oh, I've always dreamed of going to Hawaii or something like that. Then for my birthday 1 year, you would get me a ukulele or you're a Hawaiian shirt. You're that thoughtful person, whereas I'm not. Although you've had a bad experience of that recently.
Oh, just the worst, yeah. Because I do like to try and be thoughtful because I hate that thinking, oh, what am I going to buy someone? So I try and listen out for what people want. And my boyfriend bought his mum for Christmas a posh pepper grinder, and how do you say it? I think you say
Le Creuset, even though that doesn't seem right because you never pronounce the last letter in French usually, unless it runs into a vowel in the front of the following word. But anyway,
I'm going to go Le Creuset. And he used it over Christmas and he was going on and on about it. I think at one point he said that he loved it more than me, that's how much he was going on about it. But there was no hinting or anything. But it's his birthday in March as well, so I thought at the time, I thought, right, that is what I'm going to get him for his birthday. Brilliant. And so I bought it because it was 20% off in John Lewis this week. So I bought it slightly cheaper. And then at the weekend, I was with his brother and his sister and we were having lunch. And Tom went, oh, Hugh and Mary, if you want to know what to get me for my birthday, what I'd really love is a Le Creuset pepper grinder.
Oh, no.
And I sat there for 10 seconds thinking, firstly, okay, I don't want them to get it, so I guess I can just warn them afterwards not to get it. But worse still, he's going to now think that I heard that and then thought, oh, I'll get him that, rather than this extremely thoughtful 3 months in preparation idea. So I sat there for 10 seconds thinking, oh, I really want to say something. I thought, I can't spoil it. And then I went, actually, I've already got you that. Can you help me? myself.
Because she wanted to prove how thoughtful you were.
I'm so vain. I couldn't help myself. I just couldn't let him think that I just ripped the idea off him. I had to let him know that I'd pre-bought it. I mean, even though now it's not a surprise. Terrible.
Get with it. Get with it. Get with it. With. Get with it.
Adrift. Adrift. With Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
I was just thinking that would be a good topic for you to send in stories on, which is your own thoughtfulness not going recognised, but you're too meek to say anything about it.
Oh, yeah, with birthday presents and any present. Yeah.
Or just sort of generally, have you ever done anything really thoughtful? Mm. The other person hasn't clocked what you're trying to do and you didn't want to make a fuss by saying something about it. Yeah. Also, that classic thing, and we talked about it the other week with the pencils that the people at Acast got for us. When you get somebody a present and they're not sure, you're not sure if they received it or not, what the etiquette is in those situations, all this kind of stuff. So there's that. Anything on the subject of shyness is nice, and meekness is always good. Weird things you've said to fill a silence, these are the type of stories we're after, please. If you haven't sent yours in yet, or if you've got a new one for us, then email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
First one's from Barbara. My husband had invited me along to an evening reception in London that would mean mingling with some of his colleagues and business associates. Of course, it was understood that I should be on my best behaviour, certainly not the kind of social event I was used to attending in my own industry. There were canapés and PIMS, a botanist's supply of PIMS, it turned out. Naturally, I had too much PIMS. At one point, I was introduced to an architect my husband was working with and his wife. We did the usual small talk stuff. What do you do? Where do you live? Do you have children? On telling us they had one small child, I popped up with, oh, and another one on the way, I see, pointing at the architect's wife's belly. Deathly awkward silence. Well, actually, yes, we are, but it's very early stages. We haven't even told our family yet, came the response from the architect. How did you guess? It was at this point my appalled husband jumped in with, oh, Barbara's psychic. She's always right about these things. Really? Came the incredulous response to this surprising twist. Yes, that's right, I said, picking up on my husband's cue. The architect's wife and I locked eyes. She knew and I knew this was clearly not true. She was on the tubby side, and what I initially took for a six-month-old pregnancy was clearly overweight. My husband dragged me off very soon after that. Needless to say, it was some time before I was invited to accompany him to any other work dues. Okay, this one is from Anon. I have recently come across your podcast and so enjoyed listening to everyone's stories, I thought it's only fair to share one of mine. I really am not at all good at the social interaction stuff with my fellow humans, as I do have an amazing ability to misread situations, totally jump to wrong conclusions, and just generally put my foot in it massively. To make matters worse, I'm not at all shy about getting into situations where I really should have left well alone. Oh, how I wish I was. I need to give you some background to this story. I am the eldest of three boys. My brothers didn't exactly grow up to be the most responsible adults, but somehow I did. And I guess they see me as some kind of father figure, as I'm the one they always come to with their various problems and troubles. And this story concerns one of my brothers, who I shall call Big Roy. He lives in Spain, and I try to get out there when I can to see him and his two boys. And this incident took place on one of those trips. The story starts with Big Roy waiting in arrivals to pick me up. He was sitting on one of those rows of uncomfortable plastic seats that all airports seem to have, and he had his youngest son with him, who I shall call Little Roy. He was about 18 months, 2 years old at the time, I guess. And it was no surprise to me that Big Roy had left Little Roy to run riot, climbing over the seating, jumping around the place, etc. Big Roy was desperate to get going to miss the traffic and immediately started walking to the car park, leaving Little Roy behind. I couldn't believe it. I'd literally just got off the plane and I'd been left to deal with this kid already. Now, the reason for my annoyance is that Big Roy has form for this. A couple of years earlier, he and his eldest son, who was about 5 or 6 at the time, came over for a family wedding. Big Roy's partner had stayed in Spain due to be heavily pregnant with Little Roy. At the reception, my nephew came up to me in tears as he could not find his dad. We had a good look around, but we could not find him anywhere. In fact, Big Roy didn't show up until the next day, as he'd met up with an old school friend and they went on a bender and did not tell anyone, even his kid. As a father of 5 children, I just could not believe that my brother could even think about doing such a thing. And even my other brother, who is generally even more irresponsible than Big Roy, was not impressed. So you will see no doubt as to why I took particular umbrage at this. So back to the Spanish airport. And to make things worse for me, little Roy was playing up with me badly. He was totally ignoring me and just ran off when I tried to pick him up so we could catch up with his dad. Then a guy who'd been watching this whole thing comes over and starts telling me what he thinks of my brother too. Well, that's what I assume he's saying, as he's shouting in Spanish and I can't understand a word. He's very angry though, and we were attracting a small crowd and they were starting to share our anger at my brother's poor parenting skill too. The Spanish do take family values very seriously, and it was at this point my brother shows up. "What the hell are you doing?" he asks. "Looking out for your kid again." I ripped into him as the memory of the wedding reception came flooding back to me. "I can't believe you just walked off and left little Roy behind. See how upset you've made him. What kind of parent are you? Even this guy thinks you're a useless dad," I continued, indicating the angry Spanish guy. "That's not little Roy, you idiot," said Big Roy. "Yep, I have just made an involuntary foray into the exciting and challenging world of child napping." And of course, the angry Spanish gentleman was the child's father. Fortunately, Big Roy, who speaks Spanish fluently, managed to calm the guy down and the crowd down, most probably by explaining that I'm a complete and total imbecile who should not be allowed in public unsupervised. Whatever he said, it seemed to work, as I managed to get out of the airport alive and not in the back of a police car van either. I hope you enjoyed the story, and in spite of my brother, both his boys have grown up to be decent and not at all socially awkward beings.
Adrift. Adrifting. Adrifter. Naughty.
Adrift.
Time now for a little feature Annabelle likes to call Ways in Which I'm Not a Fully Functioning Adult.
Part 10.
Part 10.
Yeah. How I'm so pathetic, I get bullied by children. Now, we all know that children get bullied by other children, but when are we going to talk about adults getting bullied by children? Well, now, that's when. I took my one-year-old to a soft play centre last Friday afternoon because I wanted to see some depressed people eating chips while their children go feral. That's a laugh of recognition. And Rudy quite likes going in the soft play bit that I've paid £5 for about 5 minutes, and then spending the rest of the time trying to go into the toilets, putting his hands in any bins, walking around the seated area and picking up the most disgusting bits of food off the ground that he can find. It's a nice afternoon now for him. So while we are in the play bit, he's enjoying going down the slide and going in the ball pit and climbing up things. And for a bit of variety, I tried to interest him in this spinning round thing. It's hard to describe, but it's a long cushioned pole, upright pole, with a cushioned disc at the bottom that you stand on and then it spins round. So I put Rudy on it and he's quite unsure, but he's clinging to the cushioned pole and I very slowly move it round. And then a child, who might have had a gentle disposition if he'd been brought up by wolves, charges towards the pole, this thing, and then jumps on it and span it round so quickly that Rudy fell off. And if he'd been at hard play, not soft play, he might have hurt himself. Now, I've heard about this lioness instinct in parents. Mess with my children and I'll kill you. So that kicked in and I said, "Oh, mind the baby, he's smaller than you." Killed him with those words. And his reaction was to keep spinning, but with one hand, but the other one pushing towards us as he shouted, "Go away, go away, go away." Lioness me fought back again with, "Well, we were here first," but he just carried on. So we went away. This child was about three. I was bullied by a three-year-old, by someone over 40 years younger than me. And this is not the first time this has happened. Like, my last flat was in this smallish block with a communal garden, and it was gated, this garden, and there was grass. Nobody used it, though. The only time I ever used it was to go through it as a shortcut if I was going in one particular direction. Nobody ever spent time in it. Until a family with three small children moved in. And then there was a trampoline, a swing and some other stuff, you know, and that communal garden was theirs. They're out there all the time. And I was just glad it was being used. And then one day, as I was going through as a shortcut, the eldest child, who was about four or five, said to me, "What are you doing in our garden?" And I told him, "Well, it's a communal garden, actually." Like a four-year-old knows what communal means. Although he seemed to, and he said, "It's our garden, get out." And then he flushed my head down the toilet and stole my dinner money. Actually, that last bit's not true. But I did stop using the garden as a shortcut when he was in it. I was bullied out of my own communal garden by a 4 or 5 year old. I don't seem to get bullied by adults. It's possible they see me as so insignificant that it's not worth bothering. But very small children, I am their target. I am dreading Rudy having friends and friends over, because then I'm going to have to be bullied in my own home.
Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port are adrift. With you, which is saying something. about you?
I have always maintained that you shouldn't apply to go on The Apprentice because your personality isn't big enough for reality TV. Like, yeah. You'd get a bit lost in amongst those big personalities. Mm. However, I'm starting to doubt myself because of your sheer business acumen.
Oh, the pencils. Now, all I'm going to say to that is don't speak too soon.
Oh.
I feel like it's gone well so far because they sold out.
This is amazing.
I was really pleased. But now I keep thinking, I should have gone with my gut, and my gut said, fortune favours the brave, and ordered more. But I was too nervous too. And so I think maybe they sold out too quickly and some people still want them, but now it's too late because I can't order any more because you have to buy in bulk and blah, blah, blah.
So how many have been sold?
Well, in, do you want units or individual pencils?
I'll have units, please.
Units, okay. I think I sold 162
units. 162
units,
yeah. Right. And what is the minimum order?
To have them at the same price, it'd be the same.
Which is
100. I think I ordered 175. I kept a few back for
me
if any went lost, missing in the post, etc.
So you're now worried that if you were to order another batch of 175 units,
they wouldn't sell out. Yeah, the thing I'm more worried about is the customs forms, the ones sent abroad. That's why I said don't speak too soon. I mean, I must spend at least 3 hours a day panicking that people are going to get stuck in customs, and I must have googled 100 times and reassured myself it's fine. They're under the mount, they're under the threshold. It's fine. And I took the form to the post office and said, did I fill this in right? And they went, yeah, you filled it in right. I'm still very nervous about it.
But I suppose the bigger point is, so it's exciting. We've had people tweet us and send us messages who've already received their pencils in the lovely Jeffy bag packaging.
Yeah, yeah. Satisfied customers, I like to think of them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So is there any point in people emailing saying, I would have bought some of those pencils? Or do you think, you know, your foray into the pencil business is now over?
It was very time consuming. Very, very time consuming. I don't think we'd be able to sell the same amount again. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I don't want to use the phrase wash my hands of this.
Yeah.
But I've kept it very much at arm's length.
I think we said all along they're going to be limited edition. Let's keep them that way. Limited edition.
Okay.
I do have a few left over that I've kept back in case some get lost in the post. So I'll let you know if they need to be released. But yeah, I think let's keep the limited edition for now. And then maybe in a few months' time, we'll do something different.
But yeah, well, this is what I was thinking. Maybe like a tea towel or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
But if it turns out you've really misjudged this.
Oh, let me know then. Yeah, if people feel
like...
Yeah,
because you occasionally hear of it, don't you? They'll print a few copies of a book and then it'll turn out to be a sensation and they have to...
I've never heard of that with me. No, that's not familiar to me. No. But yeah, who knows? Maybe the pencils are my bestseller.
Yeah. So if that happens, if people listen to this and think, oh, I really missed the boat on those pencils and I'd really like some. If you get another, so you'd need 175 emails from people.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, is it? No.
All right. Well, that was a big success.
Big success,
as they
say.
So
far, but wait to hear about the customs issue.
So next week, I'm hoping to have some information on Hebden Bridge.
Oh, okay, exciting.
I think there's a date sort of penciled in, but I'm nervous to say it just in case people think, oh, I should book myself a train ticket or a bus ticket or whatever.
Okay,
But I'm going to email the guy this week, Mal, at the Trades Club in Hebden Bridge. But it's looking like it'll be at the end of June.
Okay.
The first ever Adrift live show.
Wow, exciting.
And I've got some ideas about what we can do.
Have you? But it's months away. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, which I will then solidify on the morning of the show.
Oh, good, good. Phew, I thought something had happened to you. It had bumped on the head or something. I was really worried.
But some news on that. And then I suppose the next thing we should do is something for our Patreon.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Supporters. Maybe, yes. But you know, all this to be discussed in the coming weeks. In the meantime, if you would like to support us on Patreon, then it's patreon.com/Adrift.
Computer sounds are awesome. Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Adrift. We had a few warm days and now it's gone a bit chilly again.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd started wearing a spring jacket, but now I'm thinking I do need to go back to my winter coat for a few days.
Mm.
However, it has a stain on the collar. I'm not sure what it is.
Mm.
It looks like maybe some kind of paint or something. And it's a coat that can't go in the washing machine, so I need to take it to the dry cleaners.
Yeah.
But I can't take it to the dry cleaners.
Why?
because I've already got stuff in the dry cleaners that I don't want to collect.
Oh, well, so when you arrive, they'll say, oh, we've got something for you here, Mr. Lloyd. And you have to say, no, I'm just using your storage.
Yeah, because I think I've mentioned before, like, I'm completely paranoid about moths.
Hmm.
And we get moths in our house and they eat my jumpers and eat my suits and things. So when I take them to dry cleaners, I'm sort of using it like an additional wardrobe, one that doesn't have moths. So I've got a suit in there at the moment that I could do with like just leaving there until the next time I have to go to a wedding or something.
Right, okay, yeah.
But I don't want to, so, but I've got to clean this coat.
Hmm.
But I'm worried that if I go to a different dry cleaner,
yeah,
the first dry cleaner might see me going in there and think I'm a traitor. And then do something to my clothes. But what should I do? I seek out advice on this week's The Incident. My go-to for this is my friend, the comedian, Susie Ruffle, who is meticulous about life admin. I wanted to find out what an organised person made of my dry cleaning system.
I found all of this quite stressful to begin.
Well, this is my question. Does this just give you anxiety knowing that people live like this?
Well, yes. I think, first of all, my first question would be, how organised is your wardrobe?
I mean, some stuff is hung up. Sometimes I'll put something on, realise I've grown too large for it, and then just kind of strew it across the wardrobe floor in the hope that
it will...
Are you
still growing, Jeff?
I'm still growing, yeah, yeah. I'm having a lot of growing pains at the moment, yeah.
Right, okay, sure, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
That does sort of change things somewhat.
So I would go jumble sale is the look that I'm going for with my wardrobe. And I don't mean what I'm wearing, I mean the actual wardrobe.
Yeah, okay, so I think that the first place that we need to start with this is that, do you have too many clothes? Could you maybe get rid of some of them and give them to some sort of charity shop, which, you know, would be good for the world and good for you?
And I worked hard for those clothes, though, Susie.
I know you worked hard for those clothes, but, you know, you can enjoy clothes for a bit. And then go.
I'm just living in hope that after my growth spurt is over, I will eventually end up at a size that I can fit back into some of these clothes.
And you might, but then don't you think if you do grow, you might think, if you do go back to the size that you have been after you've grown, don't you think that you might want to treat yourself to something nice, because you'll be like, oh,
maybe,
look at me.
Maybe. Okay. You make not a bad point. With that one, what that doesn't solve is my perennial problem, which is a moth problem in our house.
Okay. Have you thought about just renting out the spare room to them and just saying, guys, you can only go in here?
Negotiating like, with a moth isn't something.
I'd
never considered negotiating with moths.
Well, that's why you do need to think outside of the box.
Right. I've thought about buying like a really nice sacrificial cashmere jumper and then just leaving it there in the hope that the moths will feast on that and leave the other clothes alone.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They want to fuck with you, Jeff. That's the problem.
So if you take something to the dry cleaner, are you picking it up the day it's ready?
Yeah, or the day after.
So you are that organ, you're that person.
Well, also I would say that not long ago, Jeff, I was in a very similar position to you in that I had far too much stuff. And I started to feel a bit like, oh, guilty about it. Like, oh, God, I've got so much. This is a bit gross. And so I've really minimized my wardrobe.
So this is a bit like people like Steve Jobs and high-end executives who wear the same thing all the time, almost like a uniform, because that is a decision taken out of their day.
Yeah, it takes out one decision in like, oh, God, what am I going to wear for my show tonight?
And I'm sure you're using that time wisely now that you don't have that decision to take it up anymore.
Yeah, of course I am. I mean, my cat's bed isn't going to microwave itself. I've recently got my cat a microwavable bed. I mean, I appreciate it.
Hang on. I thought you were being off the wall then.
I'm not a wacky comedian, Jeff.
I wouldn't have thought so, but there was the bit earlier in the conversation about negotiating with moths, so I thought maybe you got in a different direction with the comedy. So, hang on. You're microwaving your cat's bed.
Look, you're lucky enough to be a father.
Mm.
I'm hoping one day to become a mother. Currently, all I have is a very demanding feline, and my girlfriend finds it very annoying if she sleeps in our bed because the cat insists on sleeping in between us. So I decided to get her quite a posh bed, and what you do is you take out the middle section and you pop it in the microwave and it stays warm all night.
Wow.
And I mean, I feel now it's been very, very rich for me to say to you, Jeff, you need to throw away the shit that's in your life. And then for me to say, ding, ding, I'm sorry, my cat's microwave bed is ready. So, I mean, yes, I'm more organized, but I might be mad.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Drift.
Under Your Control.
With Jeff, Lloyd, and Annabelle Port.
I was in Debenhams department store the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I was in there is because I needed to go to the toilet.
Oh, okay, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a mental map of where the good toilets are, and Debenhams is a pretty good one. And just to be clear here, I needed to go for a sit-down toilet.
Okay, thanks for being clear.
It's relevant to the story.
Okay, fair
enough. So I go in, go up the escalators, head towards the toilet, and there's a guy in front of me who's doing the same thing. I can tell by the determined way that he's heading for the loo. Mm. And as we both walk in, I can see there are two cubicles with open doors ahead of us. So he looks in one, and then I sort of clock him, not quite pulling a face, but there's something about it that doesn't seem right to him.
Yeah.
So then he goes in the next one.
Yeah.
So I then look in this cubicle that he's rejected, and it seems fine, but it just gets under my skin. I'm like thinking, what has he noticed that I haven't noticed?
Or his standards are much higher than me, and I look really skanky going this one.
So I waited for him to be done.
Did you? Yes.
What else was I going to tell you that I'd done this week? Oh, we went to a supper club.
What?
Right. So this seems to be sort of a trend in the part of London we live in, pop-up supper clubs and dining evenings. And I think what they tend to be is people who want to one day open a restaurant. And maybe they do sort of market stalls, selling food, food markets, this kind of thing. And then they're working their way up to a restaurant. And one of the steps is taking over an existing space for an evening and serving a set menu.
Right.
All at the same time.
But it's not in their own home. It's in a...
Yeah, yeah. So I think there are ones in people's houses, but it wasn't one of these.
Right.
So they'd taken over a cafe with quite a big back area. And I thought, oh, this would be good. And it seemed interesting. The menu was Tastes of the Silk Road.
Oh.
You know, the ancient road from, I guess, like China through India, through the Middle East, and bringing flavours and spices as they went. So I thought, I'll sign us up for that. So we went, and you know, it said you've got to turn up at 7 o'clock. So we turn up, and our absolute horror when we got there.
Yeah.
So it was a big room, and they had decorated it so beautifully. Mm. Like lots of flowers, and they'd done, you know, sort of just lit it beautifully. It was just this wonderful looking room, but it looked like a wedding reception in as much it was just two really long tables. That you sat on a bench with other people, like people on either side of you. And then this phrase supper club was going around in my head, and thought, oh god, it's not one of these where you're supposed to sort of interact with the fellow guests, is it? So what we ended up doing was, if you imagine two long tables, benches on either side, we chose the bench furthest away from the front of the room, closest to the exit, at the end of the bench, right at the end of the table.
Yeah.
And because I'm a punctual person, we got there on time and not many people were there already, so the room was kind of empty. So Sarah sits down, and I realise what we've done is, out of a fairly much an empty room, we've chosen the worst seats in there. So as I say, it's beautifully decorated, but what I'm looking at is Sarah in front of a fire exit and sort of signs on the doors saying, please keep this door closed. Right, whereas the entire rest of the room, they've got these floral displays and clever things done with twigs and branches and candles and lights. But we mean we look like crazy people.
You've chosen because the worst
place, it's a beautifully designed room and there's one bad seat in it. And we've chosen to sit in these bad seats through fear of having to interact with the other diners.
Well, what kind of crazy person would go straight to the middle and have people either side?
I know. Oh, yeah. It's insane. That's only an insane person. And even with this, I thought, well, there's still going to be some people next to us. But fortunately, they seem just as antisocial as we did.
And did you build a wall with like pepper and salt? And, like...
Yeah, fairly much. The only interaction we had is I had to ask them if we could have the water bottle at one stage.
Oh, okay. And how did that go?
Quite poorly. So here's the thing. Yeah. You know, I'm happy for people to be antisocial, but at least be needy for other people's approval so that when you're being antisocial, you're sort of being polite at the same time.
Yeah.
At least I'm warm. You know.
Yeah. You didn't get that back. Okay.
No.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. When you stop thinking, your mind begins to start loving Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port. Oh, touch it.
There is a little corner here in this attic, problematic here at the GLAP clinic. It's called Quandary Corner, and that's where we sit now to solve your social etiquette dilemma.
The first one is from Shona. I was out at the weekend for dinner with a former colleague. Let's call her Janet. We don't know each other very well, but really hit it off, and I missed her leaving due earlier in the year, so this was to make up for that. Plan was a quiet dinner and home by 9. However, by 9-ish, the other people from work who were there had left. Janet's partner, let's call him John, had joined us, and after a bit, my partner also came along, so it was the four of us. Don't worry, this isn't a swinging story. The night went on and they ended up back at ours to stay the night. Honestly, not a swinging story. We'd all had a bit to drink, but no one was falling down drunk or messily drunk. We had a couple of drinks more, listened to some tunes, went to bed. Cut to the next morning. My partner is still in bed. I'm having tea in the kitchen with Janet and John. Nice, relaxed and friendly chat. I told a story about thinking I'd heard someone being sick in the hall last night. We live in a flat, so I meant out in the stairwell. But said I'd probably dreamt it because that literally has never happened. It's not that sort of building. The neighbours are great, etc. After a wee while, they draw themselves together, head for the train with an invitation to visit them and vague plans made, including the possibility of John maybe doing some work for us. I go to strip and change the spare bed. Someone has obviously been sick in it and tried to clean it up and then made the bed when they got up. So my dilemma is, do I say anything? And if so, what? And what happens to the relationship now? I really like Janet. John seems like a good guy. We all had a lovely night. And it would just be awkward if we started making excuses not to see them, especially with half plans in the pipeline. I'm astonished that there wasn't a, I'm really sorry, a mortified but conversation quietly this morning, which makes me think maybe whoever it was didn't remember, but there were two of them. And I told a story about thinking I'd heard someone throwing up and we're all supposed to be grown-ups. I don't want to embarrass anyone if they don't remember, or maybe they're already so ashamed and embarrassed they couldn't bring themselves to say anything, but they must have known I'd find out. It's really cast a pall over what could be the start of a beautiful friendship. Please can you help me? Thank you with anxiety, Shona. P.S. Thank goodness I'm in the habit of immediate bed changing after guests.
Benefit of the doubt, they were going to bring it up. Then when you started banging on about it not being that type of a building,
They
felt embarrassed and thought that they'd got away with it with the cleaning.
Yeah.
But I mean, absolutely, you shouldn't say anything.
I think what I would do in the situation is I wouldn't say anything and I'd let the friendship go on, blossom and grow. And then about 10 years down the line, I'd get really drunk one night and I'd blurt it out and ruin everything.
Yeah.
And that's what I think you should do too.
That's exactly the thing. But I mean, you can't say anything.
How can you?
Yeah.
You just have to pretend it never happened.
I've told this story before, but I used to often be in Stockholm and my good friends, Carolyn and Malik, would let me stay at their flat. And I am a nude sleeper, and I have been, and I guess I still am, of the opinion that it's okay to nude sleep at somebody else's house because they change the sheets.
Mm-hmm.
after, like Shona does,
yeah,
after you've stayed, they change the sheets.
Yeah.
So it's not that much of a problem. I mean, what's the difference? Like, you know, if you're not a nude sleeper, if you sleep in your undies, for example, you're still, like, sweating out your armpits, you're still slobbering out your mouth. I mean, what's the difference? The sheets have got to be changed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd been doing this for a while, you know, not every week, but with some frequency. If I had to get to the airport, you know, I'd crash at their house. And for Christmas that year, they bought me, they said, oh, I've got your great present. So I unwrapped it. And it was some not quite boxer shorts. It's these Australian shorts. I forget what the brand is called. But there's, you know, some way in between a boxer short and a short. But definitely indoor leisure wear.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they bought them for me as a shot across my bowels.
Right.
To make sure that I didn't sleep naked in their house anymore. But I wasn't wandering around their house
How
naked.
How would they have known you were sleeping naked? Is something you would have...
I don't know.
So maybe you're being paranoid. And you never brought it up, obviously. You never said, oh, is this because...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there are any incriminating stains.
Oh,
I don't know. I mean, Jeff. I just don't know. But I don't know how that's really relevant to this because it's a one-off. I mean, if the friendship does blossom... And a pattern develops, then I think you're entitled to.
Oh, you're saying every time they stay over, they're sick in the bed. It's their thing. Yeah. Then I think I would just cut off friendship because who wants that friend ever?
Let's
move on to Alex then. He says, I've recently started a new job and so far it's been going great, apart from one small but potent problem. My desk is opposite another new starter who I'll call Dave. Now, given that English is the second language for Dave, which he hasn't quite mastered yet, and he's hard of hearing, our conversations haven't gone much beyond the generic hi and see you tomorrow at the start and end of each day, as anything further becomes a difficult endeavour between him not understanding or not quite hearing what I've said. However, throughout the course of the day, I've often noticed an odd, sweaty, cheesy smell, which becomes impossible to ignore as the day goes on. After a week or so, I realise that Dave often takes his shoes off at his desk and the awful smell is coming from his feet. How do I tell Dave that his feet are causing this stink and that I can't concentrate when he takes his shoes off without offending him? Thanks, Alex. From Derbyshire.
I think what I would do is... So how long has he been doing it for, Dave?
Well, it's very recently, you say. So a few weeks, I would guess.
I would say... Hey, Dave... Have you noticed a strange smell in here these last few weeks?
Yeah, that's the classic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And hope that he picks up on it or gets paranoid enough to put his shoes on.
Yes.
If he doesn't, next step?
New job?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything else.
When he goes to the toilet, like, download something incriminating onto his hard drive and then report him to HR.
Yeah, that's another option. Anything rather than say, oh, by the way, your feet smell. Yeah.
I think I told you when I worked in a radio station in Manchester, I mean, I had no part of this. I think it was an awful thing. There was a guy in the accounts department who had bad breath, like, sort of halitosis bad breath, and people would talk about it behind his back and didn't know sort of how to tell him. So what they decided to do... was form a posse.
Oh,
like sort of one person from every department.
Oh my.
And then went to see him en masse. And I think like
in front of one person that is destroying. In front of like several people.
Yeah. I think the sort of wrong-headed mentality was they didn't want it to feel like he had an enemy or one person singling him out, and it was just
that made them feel better. That's all it did. So one of them didn't have to do it on their own. Oh, the worst.
I think, you know, for a lot of these things, the more I think about it, the more poison pen letters are really the way forward.
Yeah, cut some. Yes, actually, that's not a bad idea, was it, Alex? Yeah, cut out some letters
from a newspaper.
Yeah, to make it really creepy. Yeah.
I think it's to disguise your handwriting, isn't
it? What about something like getting HR to have a shoes on at work rule because of health and safety?
Great.
Oh, I know, break loads of glass all the time, so he has to wear his shoes. There we go. Problem solved.
And that was our podcast. We would love to hear from you. If you have a story to share about your own social ineptitude, it's hello@adriftpodcast.com, and the same email address if you have a situation whereby you need to know what to do, what are the rules, what are the social rules, we can shed light that, shed light on that for you in this corner, quandary corner, hello@adriftpodcast.com, that email address. Usually at this point I do all the thank yous and whatnot, but Annabelle, you've only got a few minutes left on your parking voucher,
haven't
you? Oh,
right, yeah, yeah.
So so we'll leave it there. So say bye-bye, Annabelle.
Bye-bye.
Adrift.
Adrift.
Annabelle, you are not going to get a parking ticket, not on my watch. I'm going to read through the podication quickly, but at the same time, respectfully to the person who sent it in.
There's no rush, it's fine.
That person is Matt Brammer, who says, hello. Hello.
Hello.
I write to you on this rainy Saturday, partially to alleviate the boredom of desk work, but mostly to request a podication for my lovely wife, Ellen. Ellie Brammer.
Aww.
Her birthday falls on the 19th of March, and it's quite possible I've requested podication for a birthday of hers approximately 10 years ago, I think, which coincided with the first birthday of our daughter Meg. Hers is on the 21st of March. I've just found the CD we made of that for posterity, and it is dated the 20th of March 2009.
Oh, wow.
She's getting ready for big school in a few months, Titherington High, and I'm not sure she's really that enthusiastic for change. My uncle Les and my auntie Beryl live in Titherington.
Oh, really?
Mm,
oh.
Yeah. Many years ago, I came across your old radio show podcast when you were on in the evening and into the night. Ellen is a latecomer to podcasts on her own devices, so listening back then consisted of us binging on podcasts throughout our long holiday drives to various exciting locations around England and Wales. The new Adrift podcast was the final straw, though, and after waiting so long for your return, she decided it was time to add at least one podcast to her phone. I think it's still just the one.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. She's now a full devotee with Patreon donations ongoing. Oh. Annabelle's book pre-ordered.
Oh, thank you.
Excitedly received. And devoured within hours of its arrival.
Really? Oh, wow. Ellie.
As I type, she is prepping her new pencil order. Well, she should have the pencils now, shouldn't she?
Yeah, she should have.
She's definitely a member of your core demographic. She worries about every social situation. And all meetings and words must be dissected to ensure no offence ever caused and no one ever thinks ill of her. She occasionally dabbles in a little bit of Jeff stalking and has on more than one occasion been especially excited if Jeff's social media highlights a return to Macclesfield. Last time she saw you walk past her fat face shop.
I remember that.
Macclesfield, I did. Yeah. But couldn't rush out to meet you, harass you, as she was the only person in there, and to leave would have been too reckless. I know. Well, the thing was, I walked past and I saw a friendly face.
Aww.
And I thought, oh, that's a friendly face. And then I got myself into a whole panic that it was somebody, you know, I knew from years ago that I didn't recognise. And, you know, so I had my own little bit of social awkwardness around that.
Right.
But with then Ellie and I did a bit of interacting on Twitter. But I don't think she's working there anymore. Okay. So, you know, when I walk past that fat face shop now, as I do on occasion.
You're stalking her.
Yeah.
It's the other way around.
There's no friendly face.
Yeah.
She is the best person. I mourn the fact daily that there aren't enough people like her in the world to make it more tolerable and provide a balance with all the abhorrent, unfeeling winkies we're subject to in newspapers and even everyday life. That's lovely.
Yeah.
A nice thing to hear about yourself, Ellie. Matt, thank you for sticking with us. Ellie, thanks for coming over onto podcasts. And I hope you have a marvellous birthday, a marvellous March birthday.
Yeah.
And 10 years as well, that's quite something, isn't it?
I know, it makes me feel a bit funny.
Yeah. But there we go. Happy birthday to Ellie from Matt. And I guess happy birthday to Meg as well.
Yeah, happy birthday, Meg.
Yeah, on the 21st. And if you would like a podcation, you can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. Now, Annabelle, go.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.